Episode 38, For Thomas Matters Radio. This is Mark Collier. We are fully engaged into the For Thomas election cycle. We are going to start another project, the Informed Citizen Project, that we kind of started off this whole podcast thing in 2014. Omega Processing Solutions was our very first sponsor on the podcast. They were gracious enough to be able to spend the resources to be able to allow me to interview these people on our podcasts and see what their vision for the city is on a little more in-depth scale. Of course, we do our op-eds on ForThomasMatters.com. The tab 2016 election tab is at the very top of that. You can click on that and see those op-eds of all three challengers and all six incumbents. But the podcast kind of gives more insight, I think. It's more of a conversational tone. There's no time limits or word counts or anything like that. So this is going to be the first one. I'm going to go ahead and record all nine before I publish any of them. That's why there's going to be a little bit of a layoff from our last podcast, which we published on March the 29th. I'm going to try to get all of these done in the month of April and then publish them every few days so that each individual person that's running for city council doesn't get an opportunity to kind of listen to their opponents and make notes in that regard. So we're going to dive right in. But first, I want to do a short message on Omega Processing Solutions. Of course, the sole podcast sponsor for For Thomas Matters Radio. Consumers everywhere are really kind of flocking to these mobile wallets. I have Apple Pay on my phone. Instead of pulling out my credit card, I can use my phone, just touch it anywhere near the point of checkout. And they actually, the application uses something it's called near field communication technology. It identifies and verifies the card and cardholder information and completes the payment. So as more shoppers adapt to this ever-changing technology, retailers, you guys got to be offering this stuff too. So if you're not offering this near field communication, that's the term that you need to use. Call Omega Processing Solutions, 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724, that's extension 7, or you can just hit them up locally, 442-8100, that's 859-442-8100. Tell them that you want near field communication technology in your business. Omega Processing Solutions will help you boost your bottom line. Here we go. So we have John Slaughter here today in the For Thomas Matters Palatial recording studio. John is running for city council. He has never run before. And he is actually our first person that we have on the For Thomas Matters Radio podcast today. John, how are you, man?
I'm good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we've got your introduction on ForThomasMatters.com. You could have seen that in the March edition of For Thomas Living magazine as well. If you want to see John's full op-ed that he wrote about who he is and what he, you know, wants to do, you can go to ForThomasMatters.com and then go to the 2016 election tab. But real quick, I'm going to give him 30 seconds. For those that didn't read those two things, John, who are you and why are you running?
So thanks again, Mark. So I'm a Fort Thomas native. I grew up here. I was a Moyer Mustang and spent quality time at the swim club and all the different athletics that were available to us as kids here in Fort Thomas, and went on to graduate from West Point in 1996. So I was in the Army on active duty for 6 years. And while there, I met my wife, Ashley, and a lot of people around town know Ashley from her architecture business and now from Shun Kitchen Design, which is...
How do you say that?
Shun.
Which means?
Shun means beautiful one. It's a kind of a play on the German word Shun.
Yeah.
So yes, that's the correct pronunciation. We do get that question a lot. But Ashley and I met in the Army, and we bounced around, lived in six or seven different states over the course of 8 years. And ultimately decided once we started a family to move back to Fort Thomas. So pretty easy decision for us. Such a great town and one that I knew very well.
The magnet pulled you back.
We boomeranged. Yeah. I honestly really wondered if I'd ever make it back.
Really?
And so I was gone for 13 years. You know, I was between school and the Army. And even after I got out of the Army, We still hadn't really thought about moving to either one of our hometowns at that point. The second child got us. So Jack was our firstborn, and so when Sydney was born, we were living in Connecticut. At that point, we were afraid we were going to be outnumbered, so we decided to solicit some help and move back near family. So toss up between Montana, where my wife is from, which is beautiful, and I would have done it in a heartbeat, or Fort Thomas, in
maybe
Cincinnati.
Get the retirement. Out in Montana.
Well, I'll go there for the summer.
Okay.
If you've been there in February, it's a little tough to get around, but it was a pretty easy decision for us to move back here. The job opportunities with Cincinnati being so close by and the Fort Thomas School District and Fort Thomas where it is was a pretty easy decision.
So what I want to do, one of the things I'm going to do with all the candidates and all the incumbents is I'm just going to give a little, you've given your introduction. I'm going to kind of tell our listeners how I know you or how I knew you at least growing up. So John's brother, Michael, is my age. Michael was one of my best buddies growing up. We actually lived together at college for a year. Did you ever come to that Audubon house in Lexington?
Thankfully, no.
Okay. my parents referred to it as shock and awe.
That's probably about right. Yeah. I would have been afraid to step one foot in the side of that door.
It was not fun. So that's how I know John growing up. He was always... you're the oldest of the Slaughters, right?
No, I'm number two.
So Paige.
Paige is first, then me, then Susan, and then Michael's the baby of the family.
And so Susan, she's moving back.
Susan has moved back.
And Paige is here too?
Paige is here, and she has her family and her two kids. They live over, up by St. Thomas. So, it's good to be home and good to have family nearby.
And we'll get Michael back soon, right?
I have no doubt that sooner or later he'll do just like me and he'll make his way back to Fort Thomas. It'll happen.
So you've got you've never been in politics before. You've been and you alluded to this in your op-ed. You've been, of course, elected to class president.
It's a little bit different, but yes.
But on a citywide or countywide scale, you're new at this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a rookie at this for sure.
So, when I get into interviewing new people into politics, one of the things I like to ask them is, and most politicians, I'm not saying you do, but a lot of them have somewhat of an ego because at some point you got to think, well, if I'm going to put myself into the public atmosphere, into the public sphere of
scrutiny,
I've got to be able to do something better than somebody that's already there. What does John Slaughter bring to the table that is not currently on council now?
Well, I think my background plays a very strong role in that, just having grown up here. I'm very familiar with the town and have my opinions about the future of the city and how things are run and how things are done here. In addition to that, my military background and frankly, my business background, too, as a sales rep in the medical device industry. It takes a lot to move the ball forward, particularly with new ideas. And on a local level, it might be a little bit easier just because there's fewer players. But in general, to move any new idea forward, good as it may be, takes a lot of effort. And it takes somebody that can pull together a lot of different people, a lot of different stakeholders, and keep them moving forward. And I think that's something that I can do very well with. And even at our level with, city council and an administrator and a mayor, it's a relatively small number, but at the same time, it takes a lot to move the ball forward. And I think that's something that I would excel at.
So you talked about in that answer, your views for the future of the city. Let's not talk about some of the recycled things. And when I mean that, I mean VA, VA homes.
Right.
I don't want to talk about the VA homes right now. So you're talking about future of the city. What is in your mind when you're talking about the future of the city?
Well, I kind of outlined in my intro in the piece that I put together for Fort Thomas Living. There's really three things that concern me the most. One is security, and I'll lump safety underneath that too. Two is our schools, and three is our small businesses. And those three things I think are what make Fort Thomas what it is and will be what Fort Thomas is in the future. And I think a lot of people are very concerned about how we're going to grow, how we're going to remain vibrant and maintain the character of the city and maintain our standing with our schools. And, you know, all of those things are very important to me.
So one of the things, and you talk about safety, you talk about schools, and you talk about small business. I'm going to read a little bit on what you wrote about small business. So you said, I'll do everything I can to make it easier to start a small business in our community, attract customers, and improve the streetscapes of our community. So how would you make it as a city council person easier to start a business here?
Well, you know, not knowing all the ins and outs of how we are offering up incentives for people to start businesses, but one thing I can say is that just from my wife's experience opening two of them here, is that it can be a challenge. It can be a real challenge. And even more challenging than that is maintaining the character of the city at the same time. So I mentioned the streetscape on there. There's a lot of people that have a lot of great ideas about how to change things up. And a lot of the citizens of Fort Thomas are very concerned about some of our historic buildings and how they're being maintained and everything else. And this and city council will absolutely play a role in a lot of those decisions. The zoning board obviously will be involved, and you know, all those things have to be addressed. And again, I think that, you know, do I have all the right answers right now? No. As a rookie at this, I don't even know all the processes right now.
Sure.
But what I can say is that you know, those are the things that are in the back of my mind all the time: security, schools, small businesses.
Jack and Sydney, your kids, how old are they now?
So Jack is 14 and eighth grader at the middle school, and Sydney's 11. She's in sixth grade.
So have they been a part of, and you talk about schools, have they been a part of the digital conversion and Highlands and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. I think Jack...
What's been your I mean, because we didn't grow up with that kind of stuff.
No, not even close.
And I think that's probably one of the things that sets Highlands apart and sets the district apart, and you talk about this, is just the city's and the people that raise the money for these types of things. I mean, buying a MacBook for everybody in Highlands Middle School is no joke.
Yeah, I believe Jack's class may have been the first.
I think
he's the class of 2020.
So he's in eighth grade?
He's in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were there. And, you know, any major change like that is going to have some challenges, and particularly for the parents, because it's new to us too. But it's an amazing step forward, and Highlands has always been two or three steps ahead of the game on any matter like that. Anything pertaining to academics and the school district itself, they've always been a step ahead. And you know, that's something I want to support. And you know, as a parent, learning how to use a MacBook was a challenge because you know, it's just new to us. It's so strange to me still to have them not come home with a bag full of books. And instead, go straight to the computer.
I'm going to break a little bit of news for you right now.
Oh, no.
So, and this has nothing to do with Fort Thomas City Council stuff. So mm-hmm. You can take a breath for a second. Have a little drink of your beverage. So at the Board of Education meeting, not only are all the middle schoolers and high schoolers going to have digital conversion, but starting next year, grades 1 through 5 are going to go through a slight conversion. They're all going to have iPads that they can take home with them. So if you're listening to this and you have a kid in Fort Thomas schools in grades 1 through 5, John, tell them what to expect.
Well, I can tell you from the parents' perspective,
yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, learning a different method of learning for the kids. You know, it's just so foreign to me to not have a spiral bound notebook for each class and have notes written down and have.
Were you as organized as Michael was?
Yeah. Well, I feel like Michael got that from me.
Okay. All right.
But
so as a city council person, you will have a bound notebook with tabs.
I will
on every
issue. I've graduated to the digital age as well.
Okay.
But you can see, I still write things down for sure. But I, you know, the leap is not that great, and certainly sets our children apart in their journey through their academic life. And I didn't know that they were going to the elementary school level.
Nobody knows that. We haven't reported it yet. Actually, it's actually going to be next week. It's on our agenda to
write
that.
Truly amazing. And really will set them up for their college experience and beyond. So very well done.
So I want to talk about a couple of the issues that have come up since the last council took office, which would be January 1st of 2015. Mm-hmm. And this kind of got started before that, the way that we fund our street repair. It's one that I don't think anybody else in Kentucky does. We assess our individual residents on the frontage that they have. They pay an assessment at the end of the year. There's about five streets that the city repairs every year. And each individual resident has to cut a check. Just as an example, there were a couple last year that were on upwards of $6,000-$7,000. That's not the average. The average is around, probably around $1,000. But not anything insignificant. Have you looked at other funding models? Have you looked at our funding models? And what's your take on all of that?
Well, my take on it is one, the condition of our streets and our streetscape and our infrastructure and everything else clearly has to be addressed. There's no question about it. We've got to stay ahead of that. It has to happen, and it's going to happen. So from a funding perspective, I timed it just about perfect when we built our house 5 years ago.
They had just gotten done?
Oh, no.
Oh.
They had not started.
Oh, gosh.
I bought just in time to get the assessment. And in fact, even there was a small sliver of land still owned by the city in front of my house on the street that I purchased just to kind of make it make sense, make my lot make sense.
Right.
Perfect timing, so I got hit with the assessment not even a year later, so I didn't know it was coming. And it's one of those things that it was fine with me because that was the way we've done it. So I'm like, okay, great. Burnett Ridge needed to be repaved.
Sure.
There's no question about it. So I really didn't necessarily have any complaints about it. But anytime we've got an opportunity to relieve some of the economic pressure on our residents, that'd be a good thing. So if there's other models out there that will work and will work within our budget, I'm all for it. There's no doubt.
So let's say hypothetical, you get on city council and you're ready to serve January 1st of 2017. Mm-hmm. Obviously it's probably not first thing that comes up on the agenda, but would you be willing to at least look at the numbers or ask staff to look at the numbers to present to council?
No question. No question about it. And, like I said, if there's an alternative that works within our budget and works within our system, I don't know why we wouldn't.
At least explore. This.
Absolutely.
So have you paid attention to some of the they do a city plan they're mandated to look at a city plan by the state every certain, I think it's 10 years, maybe 15 years, right. Something like that. The streetscapes were part of that visioning process in the year 2000. Obviously, those were one of the things that in the central business district, they got rid of some of the power lines and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We're going through that process now. They are spitballing some ideas. So some things that have already come up that they're putting into action are the city-wide yard sale. Councilman Beasold is talking about zip lines at Tower Park.
Saw that. Yep.
Councilman Mueller is talking about some crosswalks and safety, which you refer to in your piece as well. Is there anything that maybe you would have put on there if you were on council this time around?
Well, I think that, I don't think it's too late.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I think they're still in the planning phase right now. In fact, my understanding is that they're operating off of a city plan from 2001 and just amended it over the years, which is fine, but there does come a point where it just needs to be reset. And frankly, I hope we're at that point. I know that they're kicking around a lot of different ideas for future planning. I think all of those things that have been done were very good ideas. There's no doubt about it. I believe that our infrastructure is one that has to be addressed. And anytime we can do that, the power lines is a great example. That totally changed how the main street looked. And I would love to see that to continue. And things like that to continue for a couple different reasons. One, it beautifies our city and our main streets and, North Fort Thomas Avenue, Highland Avenue, all those main areas.
Sure.
If we can make those better, Absolutely. Those also happen to cross over all the business districts. So it kind of doubles down on the things that are important to me. So if we can make those much prettier, much nicer, and sustainable, that'd be a great thing.
Well, you've probably got some, and you talked about the business districts. You've probably got a little bit more insight into what it takes to start and sustain a new business with Ashley's. She's got a huge project. Talk about that for a minute.
It is a huge project. So the
What were you doing this morning?
So this morning I was trying to clean up the yard a little bit at her building at Shun Kitchen Design.
That's at 33
North for Thomas Avenue, and it's Kurt Meyer's old building. A lot of people know it as that. I always knew it as Kurt Meyer's building as a kid growing up, and law offices that were there.
By the way, real quick, yeah. Meyer and Barlow, proud sponsors of Fort Thomas Matter.
Well done.
Good plug. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Ashley and her partner, Brian Shackelford, purchased that building. And gutting it is really not the right word to say. I mean, they took it all the way down to just a brick shell. You know, people say, well, we took it down to the studs. Well, the studs came out too. So did the floor, so did the stairs. It basically started over and completely changed that building while preserving the beauty of that building itself. So we're very, very proud of that. There's no doubt about it. It's turned out really, really nice. Now I got to get some landscaping in.
There you go. Well, another advertiser, Yard Charts, Ray Fowey, if you want to check for Thomas Matters.
Absolutely.
So give me a little bit of insight, though, because you've been there through the process. What could have helped Ashley and John and Brian cultivate an atmosphere for success in that?
Well, truth be told, I think they had very good help when it comes down to it. You know, Debbie Buckley was involved. They're getting ready to put up a new sign that obviously has to be approved by the city. When we picked the color of the building, when we picked the roofing, all of that had to be approved by the city. And to be quite honest, it went pretty smooth for them. You know, so I can't say that there was any major roadblock or something, a problem that we've got to fix this right now.
Sure.
But there are definitely some things that could make starting a business easier, and incentives to come and start. You know, that's another piece to it. And quite honestly, you know, a part of it is, you know, it's all about location. Everything's location, location, right. Location. And if there's an opportunity for the city to get involved to help beautify a neighboring structure or lot or whatever that a small business owner that's considering moving in next door, we need to do those things because it's not only good for the city, but it attracts entrepreneurs, and it just plays right into everything that makes the city as vibrant as it is.
So would you be on board to look at some type of structure where council is budgeting into the next budget, some incentives for that are earmarked just to retain and attain new businesses to come in? Would you be is that what you're talking about as far as incentives?
Yeah, and there's a couple different forms of that. One can be just flat out monetary incentive. There could be tax incentives. I don't know. And again, I don't know all the processes, so I can't speak specifics on it. But there's those things. But then there's also just, you know, the things that the city does own that we could be dressing up.
Sure.
And that attracts attention to a city that already attracts a lot of people. And there's opportunity out there to do things that will make it easier for people to pull the trigger. Because it's a big decision to start a business. It's a big decision to pick your location. And the more involved the city is with those discussions and just smooth the way for people to do it, we need to do those things. It'll really help.
So I've seen you at a couple of city council meetings and that kind of thing. And that I think probably lays the groundwork for, I would always tell people, if you're thinking about running for city council, make sure you go to a couple of meetings and at least a couple of meetings and see what's going on.
Sure.
So I guess how many meetings have you been to, council meetings, committee meetings, that kind of thing? And did that help you with your decision to actually decide to put your name in?
No question. I think people get really nervous about running for anything, to be quite honest, even at a city level. I think people are kind of nervous about running for an elected office. And I would tell you that it makes the decision much, much easier when you sit in council chambers and watch how these meetings are run. And, you know, there was part of me that was concerned that there would be, just dissension and argument back. It's just not that way. Mayor Haas runs a great meeting and keeps it moving and keeps it very professional and moves things along, make a decision and move. And that definitely made it easier for me to say, okay, this I can do.
So, and I've been to Fort Thomas City Council meetings. I go to almost everyone and a lot of committee meetings as well. And you're right. I mean, there is not a lot of dissension on anything. That being said, I think it's sometimes healthy to at least discuss some things. Would you characterize in the meetings that you've been to, do you feel like those healthy discussions are being made?
I think those healthy discussions are happening on certain topics outside of the public meetings themselves. So I know there's healthy discussions on a variety of topics that are happening before council even arrives in council chambers. So I think that those healthy discussions are happening. I believe that there is an element of we would like to have consensus here. We would like to get everyone on board. And that's quite honestly, that's the way to do it. That's good leadership, you know, to get people together and make a decision and move forward and, you know, get people on board so that they'll, you know, support things once a decision is made. That's very good. And, you know, I applaud them for the things they've done.
But of course, being transparent is good too.
Agreed. And, you know, one of the things that I definitely want to do is talk to people in the community more. And it's actually been great because now word is out that I'm running, a lot of people have come up and brought issues to me and voiced concerns and congratulated me.
Did you get a lot of friend requests on Facebook?
I got a few. And, you know, it even better than that, though, is people that just, you know, just haven't seen me in a couple of years and say, hey, I saw your picture in Fort Thomas Living. And congratulations.
Or Fort Thomas Matters.
And Fort Thomas Matters. And, you know, really happy that you're running. You know, good luck to you. And I also would like this to be talked about.
Sure.
And that's a good thing. So the more avenues that we have to speak to our public officials, the better.
So not including your family, not including Ashley, of course, your wife. Who are three people?
I'm not even banking on those.
Well, of course, you should probably get some votes there. But not including those people, who are three people that you talked to and before you made the decision to run for city council? And or maybe you didn't talk to anybody. Maybe you just did it independently. Who were three people that you talked to and said, you know, I'm thinking about running for city council. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily want to name them.
Okay.
But I did talk to council members that are on council right now. So there's no question I approached three of them, as a matter of fact, and just asked, how does this work? How does this run? What is your impression? Are you pleased with how things are run? Are you pleased with, your concerns being addressed? And I would say that the overwhelming answer was absolutely, this is a good thing. I'm happy I ran. I'm happy to be doing it, and we're making a difference, and that was very important to me to hear.
So when I go to council meetings, and I think I've been to almost every one and every committee meeting in some capacity over the last 3 years. We've gone from having two meetings a month to one now. Mm-hmm. I've got my opinions on that. What are your opinions? Is there enough time to get things done in one meeting a month?
Well, I not knowing the depth that some of these issues take in discussion and in committee, I guess I don't know when it comes down to it. I think that the real work is not happening in the, at the city building.
Sure.
It's more happening in committee and in discussions offline. That's my impression, and I think that's probably a good thing, so that those meetings can move along the way they're supposed to and
yeah.
Get on with it. Is going back to a two meetings a month system the best way? I'll be honest, I don't know. But I think that my impression is that they are moving in the right direction. They are conducting the city's business like they should be doing, and they're making decisions and they're moving forward and they're thinking about the future. So that's a good thing. Now, whether that requires once a month or twice a month, that, I'll be honest, I don't know.
So I've been a little bit disappointed with some of the main thing is attendance on some of our current council. We've had starting with January 1st of 2015, we're now midway through April. That means we've had roughly around 16 meetings. We have some council members that have missed five meetings, five out of 16.
Yeah.
Would you pledge, barring any, you know, emergencies, would you pledge to at least at the bottom line show up to every council meeting?
I would. Yeah, no question about it. You know, if you're elected to do this job, you need to do the job.
Sure. So, and you're a sales guy. I mean, yeah. you're working, you know, I'm a sales guy in some capacity too. Mm-hmm. So I get the need to be places, you know, after hours. That's where we make our connections and network and that kind of thing. But this is an important job too.
No question. And, I'll be honest, I didn't know that. I didn't know that we, had some people missing meetings. You know, it was very well attended at the couple that I've been to.
Sure.
So I didn't see that, but there's no question. I would absolutely pledge to be there.
You got 20 seconds. We're in an elevator together. We don't know each other. How do you get my vote? Go.
I'd say, Mark, you know, look, I grew up here. I appreciate Fort Thomas for what it is. It's an incredible city, and I've chosen to raise my kids here. And I'd be willing to bet that the reasons that you're here are right in line with that. Our schools are amazing. Our streets are beautiful. Our families are all here. And those are the things I want to continue. I want to preserve. So I hope you'd vote for me come November.
Well, John Slaughter, thanks very much for being a first-time guest on Fort Thomas Matters Radio. Are we going to do it again?
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
You can always find John Slaughter's op-ed on FortThomasMatters.com at the 2016 election app at the top of the page. John, how do people connect with you? You have a website, you have a Facebook page, anything like that? Are you old school?
I am old school for now.
Okay.
But come this summer, we'll be ramping up and creating a Facebook page so that people communicate with me.
Great.
Otherwise, I hope to see you around town.
Yeah, absolutely. And say hi to him at 33 North, right?
Absolutely.
All right. John Slaughter, thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
So you can always check our archives at FortThomasMatters.com. All of our podcast archives are at FortThomasMatters.podbean.com. Or you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. If you've got an iPhone, it's really, really easy. Just go to the podcast app, type in Fort Thomas Matters, F-O-R-T, and all of our podcasts will be up. And then when we publish something new, you'll see it on your feed. For John Slaughter, once again, in Omega Processing Solutions, this is Mark Collier.